You are listening to Quality of Life on Valley Public Radio. Now, we couldn't end this conversation without talking a little more directly about politics, and I'm so pleased to have back on the program two gentlemen who play nicely together. They hold different points of view on political issues. They do a column in the Visalia Times-Delta. They were on this program last November, just before the election, and they are back with us now. Tom Fife is a Visalia-based investment broker, and Joe Altschul is a Visalia-based attorney. Tom and Joe, welcome back to Quality of Life.
Well, thank you. We enjoy being here.
And let me ask you to answer the unanswerable question, which is, now that we've heard all the issues and the two major proposals for reforming healthcare, how do we implement any of this? How politically, how does this get done? Tom, let's start with you.
Well, I think politically, the biggest stumbling block right now is getting 60 votes. I think they probably lost Olympia Snowe, the lone Republican, when Harry Reid started pushing his government option with his opt-out clause. So I'm not sure they're strong enough at this point, because I know there are a few Democrats that are waffling as well. I'm not sure they have the votes, so this all may be for naught at this point. Beyond that, my concern with health care in general is that, there hasn't been a public health care system that didn't require rationing at some point, and we need to remember that. When government gets involved, you're going to have rationing of health care.
Joe, do you see some kind of health care reform passing this year?
I do. And to answer your question, Terry, I think it's a political tightrope that has to be walked, but I think Reid has come up with the ultimate compromise. If you looked a few months ago, it looked like the public option was dead, but it's very slowly but surely being kind of put back into the mix. And his last proposal just the other day, let's have a public option, but let's have a state have the right to opt out if we want. And that, of course, takes away the argument that we don't want government-run health care. First of all, it isn't government-run health care. It's competing with the private system. But second of all, I think that the Reid proposal does make sense, and I think they will get the 60 votes. And the reason they're going to do it is there are a couple of good reasons. First, present system is completely broken, and nobody politically argues that it isn't. The second thing is Medicare, which is a government-run program, works, and people who have Medicare love it. And what Reid's talking about is some version of Medicare for all, and people will buy into that. And finally, this business about it'll drive the private companies out of business is really kind of nuts. And here's the reason. You look at Social Security. It competes with private IRAs and other kinds of financial instruments, and they do just fine. Public universities compete with private universities, and the private universities do just fine. The post office competes with FedEx and UPS and a bunch of other corporate entities, and that all works fine. So, you know, when you come right down to it, it's the height of capitalism. Finally, let me say this. The whole history of Medicare and Social Security, when those two things came in, they were fought tooth and nail to keep them out. But once they came in, it very quickly became part of the fabric of our culture and the way our society works. And now there's nobody who would say, let's get rid of Medicare or let's get rid of Social Security, because we found that it works. So I think when the public option comes in, a couple of years down the road, people will say, what were we thinking about? It's working just fine. So I think that's where we are now politically.
Tom, one of the questions that I keep hearing that I don't hear answers to is the moral question or the ethical question. And I want to ask you, do we have some obligation to take care of these, however many there are, 5 million, 50 million, some large number of our fellow citizens? Do we have some obligation to make sure that they can get at least basic medical care?
You know, Terry, that's an interesting question, and moral questions are always interesting, because where do you draw the line? You're right. In setting the question up, you ask whether it was 5 or 50 million. Probably more like 15 million is what we're really talking about.
It's still a large number, you'll admit.
It's 15 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that should be addressed. But Joe, interestingly enough, used the post office and Social Security as his examples. Both of those are bleeding red ink, as we know. Government isn't the most efficient beast ever. I think it was Steve Wynn who said a couple of weeks ago that government has never improved the living conditions of one single human being. I think he's probably close to being right. Whatever we have now, Terry, it's government. It's an attempt to get the camel's nose under the tent. And we know where it's going to lead. It's going to lead to more and more inefficiencies, really, not efficiencies. You're going to have government systems, by their nature, tend to attract people who are not necessarily the most motivated. I really believe in the capitalistic system, and I think what you're ultimately going to do is take capitalism out of the process and create a single-payer national insurance program that effectively will do away with competition in the marketplace.
So, Joe, why not fine-tune our wonderful free market system here and let capitalism do what it does so well?
Because the presence of money and influence in the system doesn't allow it to happen and hasn't allowed it to happen. Just take a look at what happened with the financial banking institutions in this country. They were so corrupted by greed that they just couldn't get out of their own way trying to make more and more money. The insurers are doing the same thing. They would love to insure a steel bridge against burning down. That's their idea of a great risk because they can't lose. But, I mean, when you stop and think about it, insurance companies have had their way too long. And I think the answer to your question is we can't let it go because it doesn't work. And it hasn't worked. This precondition business and cutting you off or cutting you out completely if you make a claim, they need to be regulated. So either we are going to have a whole lot of new, tough regulations on insurance companies, or we are going to have some competition in a public way that makes them leaner and more effective.
Now, Tom, we did hear that private insurance companies, compared to Medicare, and I don't know if the VA was brought into this, but certainly compared to Medicare, their administrative costs are much, much higher. Isn't that inefficient?
Well, what's inefficient in the system, I think, Terry, is tort reform. We need some tort reform. We need to look
now,
at...
Now, wait a minute. We've been told that was a red herring, that it's not that big a factor.
I didn't tell you that.
No, I know you didn't, but we heard that from a couple
true.
Of economists.
But we do have tort reform in California, and it works just fine. I mean, people aren't making out like bandits.
But Joe, on the other hand, we do have physicians practicing defensive medicine because they're afraid to be sued. About that?
Once we get some reform in the health care system, they will no longer have to do that in the same way. That's one of the benefits of reforming the system.
The proper role of government here is exactly what Joe was driving at earlier, and that is regulation. But that requires, I think, portability as well. Why not allow insurance companies to operate across state lines? Create a more competitive environment. But the idea that government is going to come in and have more interest in my health care than my private doctor and I do just doesn't make sense to me.
We are down to the wire, and I want to ask you both for a 30-second answer to this. This summer, we heard the people talking at these so-called town hall meetings, and it was, I say this as a journalist and I say this as a citizen, it was embarrassing. We had people yelling and screaming at each other and giving out all kinds of false information, unlike the two of you who are decent and civilized and try to be as accurate as you can be. Why can't our system, our political system, function more like the two of you rather than this circus that we saw a few months ago?
Well, thanks for the compliment first. Second, my reaction to that would be, I guess, a fairly partisan one. When you've got no plan of your own, and when you've got nothing positive to offer, what you do is you get the rabble excited in any way you can, and that results in all this negative that you saw over the summer, and that results in all the yelling and screaming. If the other side had their own plan, then perhaps we could be discussing those two plans.
So,
but
Tom,
nobody ever put forth another plan.
Tom, I give you the last word in 30 seconds. What's the Republican plan?
Well, the Republican plan, I think, has been offered several times, and we've talked a little bit, touched on it here this morning a bit, portability, competition in the marketplace, tort reform. But, Terry, I disagree that we had rabble showing up at a lot of town hall meetings. What I felt was we're seeing some real grassroots concern about the way Washington has tuned out the people.
And that's the final word. Tom Fife, Joe Altschul, thank you to you both. That's our program. I want to thank today's guests. Thanks to everyone who called in. Next week, we'll talk with the mayor of Fresno, Ashley Swearengen. As always, you can listen to this rebroadcast tonight at 7 o'clock. I hope to hear from you in the future. Until next time, I'm Terry Phillips reminding you, it's not only the quantity that counts, it's the quality of life.
Support for Quality of Life comes from the James Irvine Foundation, Kaiser Permanente, and the California Healthcare Foundation, ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org.